Sorry, we are we're watching videos, demos. Parents apparently have flocked, of course, to YouTube to share their experiences with using the Nose Frida, which is a nasal aspirator. If you were listening before the break, we were talking about this little item that I purchased for John Tatey and his lovely wife, Hannah, who are expecting their first child.
And during the break.
Because you requested it. I didn't, like, out of the blue send you the Nose Frida. Yes, during the break,
Well, during the break, we were watching YouTube videos of people using it, and this dad... Patty started this video of this dad trying to use it, and then I did the live read, and then the video is still going, and he still hasn't figured it. He's done it now, right?
No, he still hasn't made it work. No,
you got to hold the kid's head. He doesn't seem to understand that part.
Well, we started with a mom who had the baby's head against her, and then she came up around with her with the tube. So those of you who did not hear us, so basically one end is a like a test tube, which is, by the way, that looks like a little daunting to stick that in front of a baby's face. I had never seen. Well, I have actually. We had this as a prop when I was doing a bit for MTV's Cheesemate Club, and
yep, that's the part.
Oh wow. Okay, we got to talk about something else because I'm getting sick to my stomach.
Sorry, I just got. Sorry.
I mean, they're little babies. You don't expect that much to come out.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so that's Nose Frida. That you can go to up.
Sometimes it's good things are just on the radio, you know?
I didn't expect that.
Except for us here, John. We all get to see and witness.
I know. I'm just
this.
Thinking of the listeners who have, lucky have not had to see this snot video.
I know that was a sudden yell, and I apologize. I needed a good laugh, everybody. I was telling John when the show started that I'm a little emotionally burned out. It's been exhausting.
Oh, how could you not be?
You know, just all the news and everything. And I know that you're not from here originally, John, but you've lived here for over a year, and this is where you're starting your family, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And is that my computer? But is it is it more happening? Yes, Craig, are you still watching
the
video?
I was just telling Esmeralda how to find these videos. I think that's what you heard.
Yes, Nose Frida.
Yeah.
Esmeralda.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. They're great.
The dad one is the funniest, and then it's really disgusting. But I mean, that's because there's nasal fluids involved. It's mucus, and he really goes for it.
Carmen's got some good sports news to talk about tonight, huh? Let's talk about sports now.
Well, some bad news because the Blackhawks lost, but Patrick Kane got his 20th in a row, at least one goal in each game for 20 games.
20th point.
20th point.
Sometimes it's just an assist.
Yeah, but that
is it really?
Yeah, it's not a goal. 20.
It's not a goal.
20 straight games with a goal would be a hell of a record, but it's just 20 straight games with a point.
Okay,
it's 20. A goal or an assist.
Yeah. Correct.
Yes. He participated in 20 goals in a row, which is quite impressive.
Also remarkable. Yes. So there you go. What is the record? I'm sorry.
For most goals in a row?
Yes.
For most points in a row, I think.
Well, it's probably held by Wayne Gretzky because nobody touched him while he was playing. So.
Yeah, at some point, do they just let him score or do they become, when he's getting close? Or do they not want him to?
Does the other team just let him score?
I don't know. I was just wondering. I'm in a weird mood today.
Whatever.
That's how I feel. I would just be like, let him get close.
Our goal, your goal. Mm-hmm. It's all just a goal.
I guess they don't play like that, do they? Well, the other news you were going to talk about.
Well, I was just thinking of the Packers game, which was one of the great games of the weekend, at least if you were rooting for Chicago.
Their Brett Favre night and everything.
Oh, my God.
It was great.
It was just, they were just heaping praise on Brett Favre and, Brett Favre came into the booth with Al and Chris, and it was just agony, and he's telling all these boring stories, and Al and Chris was like, oh, this is the best. Oh, you're such a great gunslinger, et cetera, et cetera. And then the Packers lose, and it's raining the whole time, and oh, my God, it was so much fun to watch.
And we did not have high hopes for that game.
How could you?
All bets were off
how
after that. I don't know. And people are, obviously we have the Three Bears on WGN, and they were talking after the game. And, they were very excited that we won. And then I was thinking, what does this do for our draft pick? Because I don't have high hopes for the playoffs.
Come on.
Like, I can't be one of those people.
Ride that Jay Cutler freight train straight into the playoffs.
It's such a bumpy ride. It's some of the cars are it's very cold.
It's a long ride.
Yeah,
to the playoffs.
It's a very very long ride. Yeah, some of the seats smell. Yes.
By the way, the record for most goals is 16 games in a row.
Wow.
This was set in 21-22.
No, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By Punch Brodbent?
Yeah, that guy.
Punch, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Punch Brodbent.
That's what I see here.
That's a great hockey name. Well,
that's an amazing hockey name. That really is good in any sport, I think.
Yeah.
But hockey especially.
I mean, that or boxing. What are your choices?
Well, I don't punch. That's a great baseball player's name. I could see, mm-hmm. yeah, like a pitcher.
It has to be a nickname. Is punch in quotation marks?
Usually. Yep.
Okay. Then I feel better.
But
about
in the
it.
20s, people just went by their nicknames.
It's true.
It wasn't very. You know,
yeah, his actual name is Harry.
Harry.
See?
Mm. Harry, that was good.
Harry Broadbent.
No, it sounds like an insurance salesman.
Harold. Harold. He got really tired of being called Harold by his mom. And then he got called Punch.
I'm Punch.
Not mm-hmm. as good as the Rocket.
The Rocket.
Ooh.
We're talking about sports still?
Maurice Richard.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either. I'm embarrassed.
No?
Kobe
no.
Bryant retired. I don't know.
Montreal Canadian great.
Oh, okay.
Maurice the Rocket Richard.
Hockey is my weakest sport, I have to
That's
admit.
All right.
There you go. Kobe Bryant. When did Kobe Bryant announce he was retiring?
I think just a couple days ago on Derek Jeter's website.
Yeah, in the form of a poem.
What? Mm-hmm.
All of this is true. All of the things we said.
He wrote a poem to basketball.
He decided he was done. It's how far are we into this?
Well, I'm not sure he decided he was done so much as the fates have decided.
Yeah,
that
he's really bad this year.
Oh.
Like, he's not playing basketball well.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Lakers tonight allowed Philadelphia their first win of the season.
Oh. Did they really? That's people were talking about how that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how bad Kobe is playing this year.
I'm so not following basketball at all. A little bit of football now and then, a little bit of the Blackhawks, and no other teams. Once baseball's over, apparently I just shut down with sports, don't I? I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, but how about them Broncos, huh? Wow.
How do you like that, John Tony?
The Broncos, according to the official score, the Broncos did win that game. However, I think if you go by the rule book, as
here
the referees failed to
here
do
we
any
go.
Number of times.
Here we go.
Were there bad calls? Was there what happened?
There were a number of, I mean,
questionable
there were
calls?
A number of lousy calls, and they all happened at like pivotal moments for the Patriots. So there was in New England this talk of conspiracy, and you know, New England fans have been somewhat abused over the past year. So I think this was a chance for them to let out some of their lingering conspiracy theory energy and just feel like it's them against the world. I think it was actually sort of rejuvenating for the Boston fans.
Oh, wow.
But it was quite egregious, some of the calls. Gronkowski can't catch a pass anymore, apparently. That's against the rules.
not allowed. Rob, I didn't realize are you a big Broncos fan or a Patriots hater?
No, I'm actually a diehard Steelers fan.
Right.
So.
All right.
I don't necessarily hate the Patriots. It'd be nice to see somebody else win.
You seem to be enjoying John Tatey's
pain. Oh, I just like to press buttons.
My son Griffin plays Trivia Crack. So for those of you who play Trivia Crack online and you see my name pop up, it's actually my son Griffin. But when he asks a football question, you get these different pieces.
Yeah,
it's like Trivial Pursuit. And, you know, it was the question was, who won the 2001-2003, I guess. Does that sound right for the Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't guess that. I guess the Eagles. Those were my choices.
Wow, that's adorable. Eagles, who, in fact, have never won the Super Bowl.
What?
Yep.
I couldn't have been more wrong. That's kind of fantastic.
Well, at least they've been to the Super Bowl. Not every team can say that, but they've never won.
This is an important piece of information for me going forward on Trivia Crack.
Yeah, there you go. That'll come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really feel like my football knowledge only really even sprung to life because of the 85 Bears. The only reason I know anything about football
that
was because
sense.
I was a kid and it was a magical season.
It was exciting.
I guess it was just the anniversary of the Miami game. That was the only game that we lost.
Yeah, I know. There was like an article in the Tribune about it and I was like, all right, relax. Yeah. You won the Super Bowl. Better to win your one game there than at the end. Well, I can tell you that much.
Well, even any Bears fan that was excited that season, they did the recap at the end of the season and all, you know, clips of every game, and then they get to the Miami game, and I'll never forget this. I mean, I was a kid, and they played Mama Told Me There'd Be Days Like This when we lost against
Miami. Perfect.
I've always remembered that. And how long ago was that? 85? 30 years ago?
30 years ago.
Wow. That's very strange. I don't know why I remember that. More after this on 720 WGN. Don't let the music stop. I want to watch Rob Martier continue to dance like this. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Really enjoying this. Mm-hmm. He's taking everybody dance now very seriously. There we go. Oh, a little fist. Is that a fist bump or like an egg beater? What is that? What would you
I don't know. It's really white is what it is.
It was fantastic dancing.
You had the overbite going too. Overbite. Yeah,
absolutely.
Very talented dance moves right there. Esmeralda was taking it all in. She was
unmoved. I was kind of dancing.
A little bit?
My head wasn't moving, that's all.
That's a talent right there. How do you dance? Is it from the hips? What do you
just
want?
Neck down.
Esmeralda, did you hear the beginning of the song?
I know, I was dancing from the neck down.
Look at Rob.
He's all neck.
It's amazing.
All right, we are trying to loosen things up a little bit here. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by John Tatey, who is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. You can go to avclub.com and find all of his great pieces there, one of which is a piece on Fargo, which is a show that I decided I would watch. I was staying with friends, and they were traveling. I was kind of house-sitting, and I went through their recordings on their DVR, and they happened to have four episodes of Fargo, so I figured, I had nowhere to go. I was hanging out, kind of relaxing a little bit, and I thought, I'll give it a swing. And I think I told you this. I did not realize I did not watch the pilot episode. I jumped in on the second. I thought I was watching the pilot.
Right.
So all of the initiating events, the catalyst for the entire story, I actually missed. And I thought, wow, this is brilliant. They're just sort of showing these moments after. They're showing us the moments after. I thought, wow, this is intriguing. What happened? And, I just was drawn in right away. I watched three in a row. And then I watched another. I wanted to wait because it was like Sunday or maybe Saturday. And I was like, I'll wait till Monday. I can watch two in a row then. Mm-hmm. And then I invited someone over, comedian James Vickery, and I were hanging out at Mark DiCarlo's house. And you got to watch the show. And I told him. And then there was another. They re-aired the pilot. And I was like, what is this? And I got to start from the beginning.
Yeah. The season premiere you're talking about, you mean?
The premiere, right? The pilot of this, I guess, because it's an anthology kind of, right? So every season is different. So I consider it to be the pilot of the second season.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't really at all. We have a listener on the line who wants to tell us what show he's watching. What are you watching, Jim? Hold on a second, Jim. Let me put you on the air. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, you got to put me on first.
Yes, of course. There you are. Excellent point. Thank you for your help.
Well, I was watching it, and I got the whole timeline right off the bat. My brother was very confused. I had to explain it to him. how is this Milligan getting a phone call after he killed those three guys in the hotel room last week?
Right.
And now he's getting the phone call from Ed.
Right.
So I had to explain to him that this really took place over 3 days before he did it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they went back. They told different points of view. They did one episode with Mike Milligan and then that whole episode.
Right.
And then Ed.
But the thing that really bugs me about tonight, and it's a great show, it's probably the second best show on television.
What's the first?
Homeland.
Yes. That was an amazing episode on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my heart was racing. Do you think that the antidote's going to help him? Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I hope so, because he's my favorite character on the show. But getting back to Fargo.
Plus, I already almost killed him. I mean, how many times? He recovered pretty quickly.
I told my mom, I said, he's having a rough few weeks here.
Yeah, poor Quinn. Poor Quinn.
Quinn, yeah. Mm-hmm. But getting back to Fargo, the thing that I didn't understand about tonight's episode.
Yes, last night's, right?
Last night's episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I watched it tonight.
Okay, let me see if I can help, because I watched it right after work.
The thing that didn't make sense to me, when Dodd freed himself.
Yes.
Why he didn't kill her immediately and then kill Ed when he walked through the door.
That's a good... By the way, spoilers for anybody who doesn't watch the show. Let's go ahead and do spoilers.
You said it was last night.
It was last...
If they watched it by now, then it's not their favorite show.
Okay. There you go. And
fair
you can catch
enough,
up later.
Fair enough. That's still wonderful if you know what's going to happen.
Well, my theory about that was he told Ed, I'm going to have fun tearing her up. Or something like that.
I thought he was going to cut her up.
Right, but I think he wanted Ed to watch. That's what I would think. I think he wanted to take pleasure in that. He's my least favorite. I love that actor from Burn Notice.
He's great. We still call him Michael Weston, by the way.
Yeah, when you're a spy. But he's my least favorite actor on this show. I don't like him
really?
In this.
You don't like his accent, probably.
I hate it. He's
Dodd,
he talks
about?
Like a doofus.
No, but it sounds Irish to me. It doesn't sound like it fits with everybody else.
But
that's true. He doesn't sound like Minnesota. He doesn't sound that way. But that was the only thing that bugged me, that he didn't kill them both. But if you think he wanted him to watch.
That's my theory. Know?
Well, I think that maybe more to the point is that he wants her to suffer. He didn't say, I can't wait to kill you. He was really thinking about how he could make her suffer the most.
But he knocks her out.
Yes.
He obviously beat her up. because she's out cold in the back of the cabin.
Yeah,
right.
But he didn't tie her up.
No, that's true. He didn't tie her up. It's a good point.
Yeah, but he doesn't have enough respect for a woman to do that. I think that's in keeping with Dodd's.
That's true.
Sort
he's
of
always putting down
utter
women.
Disregard for, right. and really, I think, fear of women. And so I think
It was cool when the Indian blew him away, though.
Not just when the and by the way, we have to be careful because that's why everybody a lot of people get killed in this episode is because they call him different things.
Yeah, I know. That's why he shot him.
Yeah, a lot of people.
He called him a mongrel. He called him all sorts of things.
Yes.
You know, half-breed and... I mean, he was calling them all. Sorry, he finally got sick of it.
Well, not just him. It was the bar and the cops. And...
Well, he goes into this bar, and I think, and, you know, it's filled with these bigots, and the bartender says something to him about wounded knee. You know, didn't you guys want to start?
Well, you saw the plaque outside the bar, right?
Right. There's a plaque outside the bar.
About the Native Americans being hung there.
You know, we hung 23 Sioux Indians in some year in 18-something.
On the spot.
So the bartender makes this remark about wounded knee, and then Hansi steps outside, and these three guys follow him out.
Right.
And, you know, what I found fascinating about the sequence is Hansi, you know, this bartender is sort of putting this story on Hansi and telling him his story. And Hansi at one point says, like, what about three tours in Vietnam, Purple Heart, Bronze Star?
Right.
That's his actual story. But then he gets outside, and he decides to embrace this wounded knee story, and he shoots both guys. And if you watch the scene, he shoots them both in the knee.
In the knee.
He literally executes that wounded knee
story,
and it's just so.
And then
he blows away
the two cops.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is.
Well, they come. Well, they come at him and say, "Hey, Cochise," or whatever. The
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Everybody has a different name.
But how did he get? You know, he left the cabin with a scissor sticking out of the back of his neck.
Yeah, she did stick him with a
knife. And yet on the previews for next week, it shows him in a phone booth talking to Gene Smart.
Well, maybe it just, you know, like, you know when you stick a safety pin and you can stick it through just like a layer of skin?
A safety pin compared to scissors? I'm just saying
maybe she didn't hit anything critical.
By the way, just one thing, the
fact that they had broken Dodd's neck, right? Because he can't move his legs. Something's wrong with my neck and I can't feel my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just killed him. I'm sorry. It's such a dark. There's so much darkness in the show. Go ahead, John.
Oh, it's tremendous. I don't think it's topped the first Fargo because Billy Bob Thornton was absolutely fabulous in that one. So was the cast. But this is coming close. Mm-hmm. This one's just more violent.
What were you gonna ask, John? Or say,
Jim, is your brother a little slow? Do you have to catch him up on TV shows a lot?
No, he's not slow at all.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of imagery.
Well, you just started by mentioning how much smarter you were about the show.
No. I didn't say I was smarter. I said that he didn't get the timeline right away.
Okay.
He watched it last night, and he said, after you watch it today, you need to explain to me the timeline.
Well, Jim, all you have to say is erstwhile.
Erstwhile?
Yeah, that's how they start the episodes.
Erstwhile and Fargo.
They show you clips and they catch you up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But those two episodes are basically erstwhile when Mike Mulligan is at the hotel and also you know everything else is going on. Then Ed is with his Peggy.
Well, you know, it's a perfect episode for you though.
Yeah, why is that?
Because your least favorite character is now dead.
Yes. Yeah. I was, he's good to hate too, I guess. But I just think the performance bugged me. I guess
I loved the performance. I loved how Dodd had this animal energy to him, and he also had this sort of petulant child energy to him that I thought was portrayed so nicely. And I like how Dodd kind of chews on his words and has a little bit of a different accent than the other ones. I think it sets him apart and does make him seem more like.
Well, the other question I have for you is the woman, you know, Kirsten Dunst's co-worker that was supposed to be at the...
Is she alive?
Is she alive? Because they cut it. I think she's dead, but
well,
I don't know.
In that scene, Hansi kind of strokes her hair like we saw him do with this rabbit earlier in the season. It really recalled that scene we saw with him cradling the rabbit and stroking the rabbit, and we all know what happened to the rabbit. So
yeah.
I think that may have been a little hint.
It was not a
and
good
Dodd's
luck rabbit.
Dodd's daughter, we all assume, is dead also, that his brother killed her.
We assume
you don't take sides against the family. Does that sound familiar?
That's right. Yeah, it's a tremendous show. Well, Jim, now there's only two episodes left. By the way, my favorite actor on the show, right? I mean, I like them all, but I love Ted Danson. I just think he's doing such a beautiful job.
Yeah, that's what most everybody says.
Yeah, so
he does everything so naturally.
It's, yeah.
But But I think I do think Patrick Wilson's doing a heck of a job.
And Gene Smart. Actually, how do you pick?
Bokeem Woodbine is
my
star.
Yeah, he's great, too. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, great talking to you guys.
Thank you, Jim. Yep.
But keep rolling with Fargo.
All right. And we'll catch up on Homeland next week.
Jim, you were a lot of fun. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. It's exciting. It's nice to know that people are watching the show that we love. I watch The Good Wife, too. There's never anyone on the show that watches The Good Wife.
I got to get on that. I'm tired of giving you blank stares every time you bring
up The Good Wife. You're not the only one. 312-981-7200. I want to know if someone watched The Good Wife this weekend.
Oh, you know, because I got to go, Patty. What a shame.
312. Well, they did an interesting episode on race. 2 weeks in a row, they addressed race. And at first I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And then I thought, well, this is also kind of condescending. And also, where are the Mexicans?
Oh, really?
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are hanging out with the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. You can go to avclub.com for all of his great work and the work of all the people that he now is editor-in-chief of.
Now, they tried to trick me on this live read. Do you see what I'm talking about? The first six digits of the phone number are numbers.
Numerical, right.
And then they wrote out 3,000.
They just switch it up. They get bored.
I was like a freight train heading for that line, and I was just like, what is this?
I do get caught up sometimes when I wonder if they put a period or a comma in places. I mean, like, obviously I'm supposed to proofread them, and that's on me. But sometimes you pick it up, and you're starting to read, and I try to make it sound natural, and then I try to take a breath, and then I'm like, can everybody hear me breathing?
I just don't care anymore. If you hear me take a gulp of air, because it's in all capital letters, and it feels like you're yelling it as you read it a little bit.
I hope we don't feel like they don't feel like they're being yelled at. We have some lovely, lovely sponsors.
Oh, no. I hope I was. I hope I rendered it.
Oh, you did very well. Yeah. I have a, I wonder, Genucel, I need to get a hold of them because I've been using their anti-wrinkle cream, and I actually very much, I'm enjoying it. So I think that would be good for our show.
Genucel.
It's anti-wrinkle cream and like for bags under your eyes and stuff like that.
Where did you find this?
Here. They're one of the sponsors in the daytime.
Oh, I see.
But they are. So one of the, somebody upstairs gave me a sample. So
perhaps they should sponsor your show as well.
I think because, you know, when you put on your anti-wrinkle cream at night.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it in the daytime too, but there's night cream. Yeah. Because it's, you know, when you're resting, it does its magic. I need to get more sleep. I'm feeling cranky pants today. I just have felt really stressed.
Really?
By the way, I had a very stressful dream. It's part of the reason I think I'm stressed today. I woke up.
That can make a big difference.
And we have Jill Urchick is coming in on Friday. She confirmed today that she's coming in for dream weaving. So,
dream weaving.
Yeah, that's what we call it. She interprets our dreams. And I think I'll be able to remember this one because it was very specific. But the reason I took a moment before we came back on the air, John, because you guys do like the AV Club, sort of like your roundup or Q&A. Did you submit for this, what would you change about Star Wars? I was trying to find your answer, but there was nothing that you would change.
What would I change about Star Wars? I believe I said I would have better games within the Star Wars universe was my answer.
Yes, you did. On the like a board game, there are a lot of choices there.
In the movies, you see them playing, when they first get on the Millennium Falcon, you see them playing this sort of holo chess game where monsters fight on this hologram table, right? That's a classic scene, let the Wookiee win. And then part of the lore is that Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon in a card game called Sabacc.
Right.
But that's really all the games that we know about. This card game and this, it's basically poker and chess exist in the Star Wars world. And I wish that these people had better games to play because they're on these ships for months on end. They need to entertain themselves somehow.
And you also suggested they could have made something on par with Fallout 4.
Oh, did I?
Yes. You said that.
Yeah, why not?
You spent the.
What's that?
This is our closing the segment song, remember, Patty?
Yeah. Are you hanging out for one more segment or are you done for the night?
I better go.
You have to go? Now, when is the baby due?
December 19th.
December, are you, I'm off next week, so I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so our next
we
one.
We can squeeze one more in,
the
15th. We'll see
how it
goes.
You'll be on call. Go to avclub.com for all of the wonderful work they have there and follow John Tatey at John Tatey, JOHNTETI, on Twitter and find him on Facebook.
I love the new music.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN.